Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Tigress. This is going to be a little bit of a different type of episode because I'm in a new setting, okay? Hear me out. I'm sitting on the floor of my living room. I don't have pants on, and I'm just trying to be comfy and get into my feels as I record this episode. I literally just walked into the door of my apartment about 10 minutes ago. I just got home from the airport where I came in from Cleveland. I was there moving my youngest sister, Issa, into college, which is such a crazy, it's just so crazy to think that she's now in college, but everything's going really well so far. She's been there for a couple nights and it just sounds like she's loving Oberlin so far. And that definitely helps me like selfishly sleep better because I feel like as a big sister, especially with protective tendencies, I have worried so much about this transition and it has just exceeded every expectation I've had of her feeling at home and feeling excited about school. So anyways, everything's going really well. But I wanted to sit down and make this like late night episode. It's about to turn midnight because I feel like I am wrapping up summer. And it's so crazy to think that it's already summer of 2022 because I feel like in my brain, it's still 2020. I've lost all sense of time through the pandemic, but I feel like returning home right now as I walk through the door, I was like, fuck, like the summer is over. And, you know I'm an adult now in the sense that I have graduated from school. So there isn't this like beginning of semesters or finals or orientation weeks to make it feel like I have these bookends to summer or otherwise. I still have my, you know, essentially 9-to-5 job. I still have my routines. And there really isn't this like element of seasonality, like of, you know, summer, fall term, spring term. But at the same time, because I think I'm so recently out of school, like I walked into my house being like, oh my gosh, it's the end of summer. Like, this kind of feels big. Like, we're going into another fall. I love fall. I love sweater weather. But I just kind of felt this urge to reflect a lot on how the summer has gone. And, you know, I think that for me, I kind of am sending off summer with a big bang. I just got back from a couple weeks of traveling with Issa, actually. We spent about a week in Paris, which I absolutely fell in love with for the food and the bread and the butter and the shopping and the accents and the history and the architecture. And then we spent a few days in Geneva, where my boyfriend is from, and just meeting his family's new kittens and like exploring for about a day and hiking. And Issa got chased by a cow for about 5 seconds. And that felt like a terrifying near-death experience for her, not for me. I was just kind of watching and trying to scream and stay calm at the cow for 5 seconds. But she survived. We survived. And then we came home for, I think, about 24 hours before moving her into college. But, you know, I think that this summer has been, it's been like a really interesting, I think, experience of trying to continue to uphold a lot of my boundaries with work and with, you know, this recovering girl boss journey that I'm on, because work has really picked up. August, my company has been out in the world for over a year now. But, you know, I think that in the first year of our business, we were still small enough where it felt like while there was a lot at stake, it wasn't like so daunting that I felt this never-ending pressure of anxiety. And I feel like this summer, it's not that it has felt that way, but I feel like it's really felt like it's been on the brink of feeling that way. And in many ways, that's a good thing, right? Business is growing, we have a team, and like now we're starting to hire people who are gonna have whole ass families. And I've hired people before who had families, and for some reason, I think because I did witness like the stress that my mom had trying to provide for me and my sisters. Like whenever I'm employing someone with a family, I feel like I put this added pressure on myself of like, okay, this needs to succeed because it's not just my life and, you know, our consumers' life at stake, but it's like the people that I love and care about and that I work with who are also betting on this. And for some reason, that is always a very significant part of anxiety, but, you know, in a good way of being an employer, but also just like it makes everything feel really real. And I guess that's the best way to describe a lot of this summer and like on a work side is that it's starting to feel really real, which is really exciting, but also really daunting. And, you know, it was only two years ago in 2020 where I was literally in residential rehab for to be fully honest, like being a toxic girl boss who like was hustling too hard, not taking care of myself, my relationships, not leading in a thoughtful way, not leading necessarily in a way that I am proud of, and I'm not taking care of myself, never sleeping. And I think one of my biggest fears is going back to a relationship with work, but also to a relationship with myself and to the people around me, and maybe to like the impact that I have. Like, I have such a fear of going back to that because it made me lose a lot of the joy, not only from the work that I love to do, but from like my life, if that makes sense. And so I feel like this summer, as things have started to feel really real and we're like doing in-person events and business is going well, we're, you know, good on funding, we're hiring, I feel like I've been kind of on this edge of like, okay, I really want to make sure that I'm enjoying this and that I'm also continuing to sleep 8 to 10 hours a night. And I feel like because I've been on high alert of wanting to maintain those healthy habits and this healthy relationship with work, I've also been like pushing myself to enjoy more. I've been like, okay, well, what are the things that I didn't do when I was in my, you know, toxic girl boss phase? I didn't travel. I didn't have fun. I didn't sleep. And so I kind of filled this summer with like travel and a lot of friend time, and it's been really wonderful, but kind of like a new form of exhausting, like a form of energy that I just haven't exuded in a while. Like, I spent a week in Hawaii for a 10-year friendship anniversary with a few of my best friends from high school. And like, those are people that I have not been in the same room with for like longer than an hour in like 6 years. And so I feel like it's been kind of Nadia having to try and be more of an extrovert. And like, I'm traveling more, which I love, but this is the first time in my life, like this summer, that I've been traveling for fun. Like, I'm going on these trips, even to Paris with my sister, where I'm not going for work, I'm not going for a speaking gig, like I'm going for fun. And that is such a new feeling for me. And even when I was in Paris, it was like, I feel like I was trying to really practice a lot of what I've been learning in therapy and even started that work in rehab of like trying to work through my scarcity mindset and like even around food habits and eating and exploring and adventuring and spending money on things that I don't fucking need. Like, I do not need matching Gucci wallets with my little sister, but it's like, that is such a, it like literally is a luxury, like something I don't need, but maybe something that I can splurge on that will bring me joy and happiness and this reminder that I like worked really hard to just enjoy something that's not for the benefit of some professional advancement, but just simply because I'll have this like memento that I can look to, you know, when I move forward. So yeah, I mean, it's been an amazing summer, but it's also been a whole new form of like, I don't want to say exhausting, but just like different, like just something new, something I'm not used to. Like, and I think that, you know, what I've been thinking about the last couple of days as I've been looking at my schedule for September, which is starting to fill up more with work, travel, and everything, is like, okay, I'm kind of in this new phase of my career and of my life where work is going really well, but I also really think that my sleep habits are going really well. And like, how do I maintain that? And when work goes really well in my line of work, where there is a lot more travel and appearances and photo shoots and, you know, and a lot of it is my personality and my career too. Like, how do I continue feeding into that? Because I love my work. And sometimes I do get carried away. Like, I'm looking at my next 2 weeks and I'm like, wow, I'm kind of on a plane at least 3 times in the week, which is nothing compared to my old schedule, but like is a lot. And I feel like I have it under control now. Like, I'm doing my weekly therapy and everything, but I feel like I'm trying to continue to bring myself to this heightened level of self-awareness to be like, okay, work is going well. And that is an addiction that I've struggled with in the past. and I love to travel and I love traveling for work, but I need to be careful and I need to figure out like what is my new balance, right? Like traveling for one trip a week doesn't feel daunting, but maybe traveling six times in a month does feel daunting. Like, again, those are just numbers out of nowhere, but it's just these questions that I feel like I'm having to ask myself as I close out the summer.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save money on your insurance? Of course you would. After all, who wouldn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all of the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
This show is part of the Pro Democracy Podcast Coalition. I think most of us agree that in a functioning democracy, the winner should be determined by the voters. Well, that almost didn't happen in 2020. Now extremists are working to intimidate and replace nonpartisan election workers with quote-unquote yes men who might reject election results. The only thing that will stop them is us. We've partnered with the grassroots pro-democracy organization, Represent Us, to give you the tools you need to protect free and fair elections. Learn more and get involved. Visit represent.us/pod to learn more. And I also feel like this summer was taught me that I do love to travel and there's so much of the world that I want to see. And I also feel like there's so much about myself that I learn when I travel. Like, for example, just as an anecdote, like when we were in Geneva, we got called. I don't want to say we got called, because maybe it's not a slur to some people, but there were a lot of people who called us Ling Ling. There were a lot of people who yelled Ni Hao at us. And it's really interesting because my boyfriend who like grew up and went to college in Switzerland, like was shocked. I mean, he's white, that people would be doing that in his hometown. But yet me and my sister were so uncomfortable and we did feel really unwelcome, like walking alone around Geneva. His family was of course very welcoming, but it was something that I don't think the two of us had experienced before because, you know, we've grown up being catcalled on the streets of New York City. We've grown up with microaggressions and racism in Portland, Oregon and online. But it was this new level of discomfort being in Europe and experiencing that. And I was kind of talking about it with Issa and we kind of concluded that it felt so uncomfortable because it felt like there was no expectation for them to be inclusive, right? Like, I feel like a lot of the US and what I appreciate is that I, at least as an American citizen, completely expect America and Americans to know that this is a melting pot of ethnicities. And historically, this was created as a land of opportunity. And it, you know, had so many immigrants from the very beginning. And, you know, I guess maybe it's just more familiar to me. And I believe so strongly in the path that we're going to forge forward, especially given that we're going to be majority minority as a country by 2040. So I feel like in the US, I'm not excusing the racism at all, but for me, it's like I can contextualize it in my head of because I understand more about it and because I have higher expectations for the people around me and the communities around me, I'm able to fight back and I'm able to feel really confident in my position. But when we're in Europe, a place that it was my sister's first time in Europe, and I feel like it is a whole different sense of white. Like it is not white. Your great, great, great grandparents came from another country. It's like, wow, you have been here since the beginning of humankind. Like that's an inaccurate, like scientifically inaccurate statement. But all that to say, it was fucking new and it was weird and it was uncomfortable. And in the US, when I feel like me and my sisters are walking around and we're catcalled, we very much ignore it. And it's kind of like, it doesn't really bother us in some ways because it's so normalized, but also because it just feels like it's not, it doesn't feel as like deeply, I don't know. I'm kind of getting stuck on my words because I guess it's so new for me. I'm still processing it. But all that to say, like, even when we started posting on social media that we were going to Paris, we were getting flooded with comments and messages saying, like, beware, like, it's really hard to be Asian or, like, a person of color walking around Europe. And in Paris, we honestly just got so lucky, I think. We didn't experience any of that. It was, like, really in the 2 days we spent in Geneva, one day in the city of Geneva, one day in the countryside where we didn't really see anybody but cows. But all that to say, it was like really new, and experiencing that, I feel like, has just put me in literally the last 5 days of being back in the States on this new form of like journaling and like trying to understand and doing more research and thinking more about like my own, like not only what it means to be Asian American, but like in the US, but what it means to be Asian American or just someone who is Asian in the world. And you know, I have traveled, but this is like literally my first year of traveling for fun. Like I've been to Europe before, but only for like 2 to 5 day stints. And usually it's like airport, conference room, speaking gig, back to airport. Like I've been to Singapore. I was there for 24 hours because I was airport, speaking gig, dinner with the host, back to airport, you know, so I feel like this is my first time in my life where, one, I have the mindfulness capacity to create time and build my schedule to have this fun travel time. Two, where I'm not feeling immense guilt that I cannot enjoy it for treating myself to travel. But three, like I am also privileged enough to have the financial resources to be able to take myself on a trip and like really experience it. So I'm really thankful for these opportunities, but I feel like it's just opened my mind to like, wow, this is something I want to do more. And at what capacity can I do this, right? Like as I'm balancing, like I have so many interests from my career standpoint. Like I love what I do with my work. And as I said, it's picking up speed and like, how do I maintain my balances and my boundaries there? And I want to do so much on my personal travel side, and I want to experience the world, and my sister is going to college and my other sister's in Chicago, and I'm 24 and I'm turning 25, and like in my heart, and it's kind of body dysmorphia and trauma related, I realize like I still feel like a 9-year-old kid, and I feel like I'm still processing so much, and yet here I am like as an adult, as a CEO of this company, and like just trying to figure out these new balances. And it's really exciting, right? Like I'm ending the summer being like, wow, work is going great. I want to travel more. But like, I'm also really tired because I don't think I'm used to like traveling for fun. It's just like a new form of adventuring. And I am still trying to sleep a lot. Like it's just all new, learning how to set boundaries. And there's a lot that I'm excited about. And then there's this other side of my life, which is I've been getting asked a lot by my loved ones, by my friends even, about whether or not I'm going to get married. And I'm starting to be asked more seriously by like even mentors and friends, like, are you thinking of having kids? When are you gonna have kids? And it's so crazy because I feel so not ready for any of that, but I was talking to my sister about this actually, and I was like, I don't feel ready for it. And the idea of like anybody at my age having kids is terrifying. And then I realized like, wait, my boyfriend just turned 30 a few weeks ago, earlier this month. I'm 24. My mom had me when she was 23. And there are people who are having kids my age. And of course, I'm not saying that that's what everybody should do. But then I'm talking to my friends who are in their early 30s and they're freezing their eggs and they're starting to think about that. You know, none of Henry's friends are really like settling down and getting married, but it's like, I think that they're starting to talk about it. And I feel like it's just a whole tradition of our society that I've always thought about in my periphery. I mean, I grew up on rom-coms where I feel like the whole plot was finding a husband to settle down. So it's always been on my periphery, but at the same time, I do feel like I've started to find myself like being asked those questions. I want to say like maybe on a daily basis, whether it be like with friends or like I'm talking to someone in my work life and it's like, oh, you just got married. Oh, you were just at a wedding. Are you married? Like, and they ask me that and I'm like, well, no. And then, you know, it's something that's coming up a lot. And I feel like it's brought on a new form of anxiety around like growing up and around expectations and like having to ask myself these really big questions of, do I want kids? And if I want kids, when do I have them? Is this even a world to bring kids into? Like, what is the cost of kids? And what is the cost of like on my career? And isn't it unfair that these are questions that I even have to ask myself? I'm just clearly in like a really crazy transition point. And maybe it's because I am ending the summer. Maybe it's because I've been traveling and it's caused me to do more self-reflection. But I just feel like I'm kind of grappling with these really big questions. And it feels like a really big transition moment of like, okay, now is the test of time of having to put everything that I've learned to work. And, you know, I also feel that way even around like capitalism, where it's like, I've spent the last couple of years like studying from an academic lens, but also as we've built the foundation of August of wanting to build business differently and reimagine capitalism. And now we're getting to the scale of a company where, and we're not this huge, huge corporation, but like we are about to have like 9-10 full-time staff. And, you know, we're starting to think about, do we go into big retail where we are working with corporations, these big, big corporations, where I feel like I'm having to put everything that I've learned in my own accountability learning and coaching and my own studying and about the world and like what I want to build in the world and what I want my impact to be, where it's like, you know, I'm really going to have to put that to the test. And it's the same thing with my therapy and, you know, my sleeping habits. And, you know, I guess I'm always anxious, but I don't feel crazy anxious. Like, I think I'm in a really good place with my medication and everything and my habits, but I do feel like I kind of on the plane over here, and maybe why I'm sitting, I chose to sit down here right almost towards midnight to record this for this week's episode, where I was like, wow, this is like kind of a crazy transition time. And I feel like I'm just trying to breathe through that moment. And I just thought I would share that with you, because I feel like after dropping my sister off at college and seeing a lot of people on social media like transition either like into school or transition into new jobs or just like do a lot of transition, I guess I feel uncomfortable in this moment, but excited for the future, and also just really thankful that I have so many lessons from my therapy or from these experiences to like even experiment with and try to learn from. And I just wanted to share those reflections because I know I'm not alone in feeling like this is a big transition. Like, I actually have a few trips coming up where I'm literally helping my friends move into new places, which is really exciting. So I just feel like this is a big transition time. And I think part of that is related to the fact that like the world is opening up. Like, yes, we're still wearing masks. Yes, people are still getting COVID. I have a couple of friends who have COVID, a couple of friends who have monkeypox. But I do feel like we're at this point where maybe we're in denial that it's still a problem and everybody's so done with masks and going out into the world and we're transitioning back into offices and in-person, you know, classrooms. So I'm just sending a lot of love to everybody in this transitional period. Tigris, my podcast, I feel like is also coming to a transition point where we are about like actually exactly 1 year into producing this podcast on a weekly basis. And I think we just surpassed like my 52nd ever episode, which is really exciting. And also I feel like also a transition moment where we sit down as a production team and with my management and we ask ourselves, like, do we want to keep doing this podcast? What is the point of this podcast? You know, for those of you who are OGs and have been with me from like the first few episodes, and I know there's some of you out there, this podcast started as like an audio diary because I have really bad chronic pain in like my wrists and my hands. It's basically early onset arthritis, I'm convinced, where I can't journal for a long time without it like cramping up and hurting. And so I started doing these audio diaries and I couldn't really do it. So of course, I tried to turn it into something where I was more accountable and I did it every week. And I was really pushed to just explore topics that weren't work related, where I was just like, I just want to talk about these things and I want to reflect. And that's really what it's been. But again, I think now we're at this transition point where it's like, we have enough listeners and enough downloads to the point where we kind of owe it to all of you and to ourselves to sit down and be like, what do we want this podcast to be? So I guess I'll end with that. Like, what do y'all want to hear about? Like, what have you enjoyed listening to? What has been helpful to you? What has been thought-provoking for you? Like, what do you, like, I'm also really curious, like, when people listen to this podcast, because I listen to podcasts when I'm like getting ready for work, where I'm cleaning, where I'm doing the dishes, when I'm folding laundry. And I want to listen to things that are thought-provoking and teach me things. But do y'all want to listen to that? Or do you just want to listen to things that are really fun? And like, what is this podcast that's different? Yeah, so clearly I could go on and on about all the questions that I have. I have many questions, but I got to go to sleep because, as y'all know, I'm very strict with myself on going to sleep by midnight every night, and it's currently 11:40 p.m. So with that, I will say goodnight. Au revoir, as they say it in Paris. And I will talk to y'all later. Bye.